Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
You could look and you could hold it and get the best of, say, 35 and 36 with some planning, particularly if you've got the free hit. To understand in the future, so you could set yourself up with 11 doublers ideally if you hold on till 34, but it might not happen. It's the reality. It might not happen, and we can't even guarantee if a game week is moved. We can't even guarantee if FPL moved the dates or not.
Football Show.
Hello, everybody. For the benefit of those listening on the audio, my name is James, and you're listening to my weekly live stream on YouTube called Ask James, where I welcome questions from the YouTube community on anything football related. I'll be answering questions from that community over the next hour or so. This is being recorded as of 12 p.m. on Thursday lunchtime, UK time. So no team news update for you at the moment. Seems a little bit wrong to go over what's possible when we haven't got the press conferences from teams involved for game week 31 as yet. So we'll go straight into the questions this week. Benny Blanco says, "Hi James, to bring in Jota, I'd have to lose Gundo or Rafinha. Is it worth it? And if so, for which one? I don't have a wild card left, by the way." Yes, I do think it's worth getting Jota. One of the beauties of Jota, he can even score off the bench. Half his Premier League goals this season have been scored as a substitute. Obviously, very limited minutes. He missed 3 months because of injury. Liverpool have brilliant fixtures till the end of the season. They're obviously also in trouble in the Champions League. They need to overturn a 3-1 deficit against Real Madrid. So that can open up the fixtures for them as well. Running looks absolutely brilliant for Liverpool. So yeah, Jota would be a priority for me, as I said earlier in the week. And I don't know what, I'm on wildcard. I don't know what my final wildcard team is as yet. I will do by this time tomorrow. He's 100% for me, Diogo Jota. He's probably the first name in that wildcard. I can't think to go without him. And I think anybody who is in on wildcard this week is really going to struggle to go without. It's not to say you have to, but I think the majority of wild carders are going to bring him in. I think it's worth it. Brilliant run to the end of the season. Look beyond the Villa, Leeds fixtures, Newcastle, Southampton, West Brom, Burnley and Crystal Palace still to go for Liverpool, plus a game at Old Trafford against Manchester United. In terms of binning, it's not easy. Rafinha remains a brilliant asset. You can look at Leeds' next three fixtures and say, yeah, that's tough. City, Liverpool, Man United. But they have a brilliant final five fixtures. I say brilliant final five because we've got Tottenham in there if you're thinking it's only four. Gundogan is obviously amazing value at his price. You could leave Gundogan in there and in theory he might not play over the next three game weeks. It's a possibility. So I think unless you're intending to captain Gundogan on Saturday, I presume you'll want to captain probably Harry Kane in game week 32. Then Gundogan's the expendable one because Rafinha will give you the cover. Also give you better cover for the blank game with a 33, unless you're planning to free hit there, Benny. So reluctantly, it's Gundogan's going to go. Ironically, that's possibly the final choice for myself as well, Benny. He's possibly going to be that Gundogan or Rafinha. It might well come down to that. At the moment, I think I'm probably likely to go without Gundogan. I can see Diaz being my only City player, quite possibly. Rob Pick says, "Hi, mate. All over the place with my thinking on this wild card. If you were to punt on a City attacker for game week 31 before moving to Son or Vardy in 32, which would you go?" probably for punt for the week, Sterling's going to be popular, isn't he? Having had got a break in midweek. So I think Sterling, if it's a 1 week punt, is probably the way to go. No guarantee he plays though, is there? Otherwise, I think KDB, safe as. I expect City to pick quite a strong team at the weekend, but I don't pick that team. So we can never be too sure exactly what Guardiola is going to do. I think if it's a 1 week punt only, Rob, it's probably Raheem Sterling. Lamichi says, hi, James. Hope you're well. Would you go double Chelsea defence, Rudiger and Mendy, or double Leicester defence, Schmeichel and Fofana on wildcard? I would go Leicester, personally. Brilliant run of fixtures from 32 to 35. Obviously, Chelsea have a great run still as well. Palace and Brighton in the next two. West Ham's going to be tough in 33, Fulham in 34. Then the final run-in's quite tough for Chelsea, actually. So I would prefer to go for the Leicester double. There's a lot been made of Leicester's final three fixtures, United, Chelsea and Tottenham. But it could well be that by the time it comes around, United and Tottenham games are irrelevant for United and Tottenham, respectively. Same also could be true to some extent for Chelsea, in the sense that Leicester themselves might have top four wrapped up. Arsenal are probably going to have nothing to play for come game week 36. Villa the same in 38, and even City in 35. I mean, they could have the title won by the time that fixture comes around, for example. So I think Leicester, what I'd recommend for you, Lamichi, would be to listen to Monday's Clash of the Correspondents, which Rotation FPL featured on with McTavis. We previewed Crystal Palace and Chelsea for this weekend. And Ted gives really concise opinions on Chelsea. He thinks just Rudiger. And I think that's probably what I'm likely to do as well. Leicester, the only thing we're going to double defensive is it rules you out of double attack. And I think I'd have less appeal in Chelsea's attack. The only Chelsea attacker I could see me considering is Mason Mount. He's extremely unlikely to make it in for myself. Whereas a look at Leicester's front line, I think Iheanacho Vardy could well be coming for me. And James Maddison is in mind. He's unlikely at the moment because I don't think he'll go straight back into the Leicester team again at the weekend. I think Perez might play and Maddison might be used as an impact substitute. Beyond that, I think Maddison probably comes back into the team. So it'd be an interesting one in terms of, if I was to say go Maddison over Rafinha or Gundogan, it could even be that I'd bench Maddison this week, actually, then ready to go for the further on fixtures. That's not something that I've ruled out yet. And that would possibly mean me going a treble up of Leicester attackers and having no defensive. That's the only caution on that. But just generally speaking, I'd say Leicester, actually. You haven't got the rotation worry about Europe either, right? Which Chelsea, obviously, great win last night in Seville against Porto, 2-0 up. They had the best of the draw anyway. I think most of us anticipated they'd be in the semi-final. So predicting Chelsea's lineups over the next 4 weeks or so is going to be quite difficult. Rob Pick also says, if only having Trent or Salah on wildcard to join Phillips and Jota, which would you go? Salah's lowish effective ownership makes him feel like such a captaincy option for the last eight. Yep. There absolutely is that. Although there's a case to be made that Jota is equally as good from a captaincy perspective. If Jota was 9 million, would you hesitate about buying him? I mean, you'd still probably buy him, wouldn't you? The upside on Salah, I think, is probably greater. There's every chance I'll be... To be honest, like a lot of people on wildcard, there are four Liverpool names in mind. Phillips, Trent, Salah and Jota. And I haven't decided which combination I'm going to go for yet, other than Jota's definitely going to be one of them. But yet, from a captaincy perspective, Salah, great, right? Leeds away in 32, Newcastle at home in 33, then final four fixtures I've mentioned. Because it's Mo Salah, because he's on penalties, and especially if they're out of the Champions League as well, and they're pushing for top four, I think that gives you greater reason for inclusion. The power three is obviously to go Trent, Salah, Jota. It's probably a case of if it's affordable for you in terms of what you want to do. I'm not sure with Trent if I can justify the 3 point whatever it is extra to go for him over Phillips when at the moment it looks like Phillips and Kabak are going to go and get a continued run in the team. It looks very safe that they'll continue to play at centre-back, barring injury, which Liverpool defenders could well get injured. Or unless Van Dijk makes a surprise return. And I get no impression that that's going to happen particularly soon. Jurgen Klopp said previously that Van Dijk won't be available for Holland in the Euros. I think Van Dijk is targeting being available for Holland in the Euros. He certainly has been in training for some time, but you don't want to take risks with that sort of injury. So I think, yeah, from what you got to remember as well, though, Rob, that effective ownership on Salah only takes one or two good performances and soon shoot up, particularly once people see that running at the end as well. Lauren Harris says, hi, James. We're planning for wildcard. Are there any teams who you think will be on the beach in the final five games who would be good to target? I'd certainly recommend, and I haven't listened to it, but I know it's one I have listened to in previous years, which is really well done by Who Got the Assist, did their On the Beach podcast earlier this week. I personally kept myself well away from other people's content this week because I'm on wildcard and focused on purely what I'm doing. Teams on the beach, Palace, although they played quite well on Monday. West Brom very shortly could be. If they have a bad result against Southampton, that kills off any hopes they've got, I think. You could make a case for Brighton if they have a good result on Monday, might be enough for them. Villa, I think, definitely fall into that category where they might be on the beach. Leeds, you should put in that category, but then I think Leeds will just continue playing exactly as they do. Southampton might be another one. Obviously, FA Cup semi-final. You can imagine, should they beat Leicester in that semi-final, their full focus will be towards the final, which is scheduled for the weekend of game week 37 currently. So they'd be the ones. Burnley, I don't think you associate with that sort of thing. Everton, a couple more bad results are going to put themselves adrift of Europe, but it's still very much in their hands for qualification. Wolves. Wolves you put on the beach at the moment, don't you? I think I know they're on 35 points, but that might already be enough. They've got brilliant fixtures, though, Wolves, and they're a headache. I think all of us who play into wildcard this week were clear in our mind that we'd probably end up having a Wolves defensive player. But as I said on Tuesday's podcast, like Bradley Parker, our Wolves correspondent, saying absolutely don't go near them. I'm not ruling it out just because the next few fixtures are so good. Fulham, Sheffield United, Burnley, West Brom, Brighton is screaming at me that there's potential clean sheets in there. But I'd feel a lot more confident if they were still playing a back five rather than obviously reverted to a back four on Monday night and not clever at all defensively. The third goal was embarrassing. The amount of players chasing Lingard and can't get nowhere near him. Lomba Neto says, I'm cousin brother of Pedro Neto. Your thoughts on Neto's FPL points potential for the next five game weeks? It's certainly there. I think he would be a fixture-based punt. And I think it will frustrate for most people. In terms of what I'd expect for Neto in terms of attacking returns over the next five game weeks, 2 to 3. I mean, it's not bad, but I'm not expecting him to go off big at all. Ayman Fazeli says, hi, James. Ranked 4K overall. Well done. Feels a good week for a captaincy punt. I'm thinking Sterling, or should I look longer term and just get Salah? I think, my friend, if you're at 4K overall, you probably shouldn't be asking advice from people like me. You should keep doing whatever's been working for you. I would prefer, and it depends on your strategy, right? Kind of as explained for Rob, I think Sterling 1 week punt, yeah, great. Wouldn't want him beyond that at the moment. So it depends what your strategy is. If you're looking longer term, I would just get Salah, personally. Lauren Harris says, also, Wolves, fixtures are so good, but this season seems to have talked so far that form over fixtures generally a better choice. Do we avoid? That's kind of covered, Lauren. I think there's so much uncertainty with them defensively. There's little things like Ait Nouri being back in the team Monday, and you think, oh, I double check his price because Johnny's had an unfortunate injury again. And then you look at it and go, oh, he's 5 million. I ain't going near that. Cody feels so expensive against the likes of Phillips, Masuaku, who's back available, Rob Holding, who could get a run for Arsenal. He's the one that you think is probably nailed. I think Nuno Santos is quite unconvinced about Cody in the back four, but I'm also pretty sure that he's not going to be leaving him out when Cody's obviously fighting for a place in the England squad in the Euros. So I think Connor Cody, obviously now goes forward at set pieces and stuff, would be the sensible way to go. Can't see me going for Neto, even with those fixtures. Generally speaking, it isn't a void. Tom Hyom says, hi, James, on free hit, which three City attackers would you go for? It's an interesting way to play the week. I would say Sterling, De Bruyne. I think on free hit, it'd be a case to say Gabriel Jesus as well, actually. I think those would be the three. That's a lot of money you'd be powering in. But there's so many other budget good options at the moment that you can still go. You can still add Jota and Salah to that, for example, and still have quite a strong team defensively on that. You can go for people like Rudiger, for example. Rob Holding against Sheffield United. So I think, yeah, I'd go to power three, probably for City. So I think, yeah, Sterling, De Bruyne, Jesus for this particular weekend if you were on a free hit. Andre Churi says, James, would you consider my friend Adama Traore? I think we got a few on a wind-up today. For the next six games, Adama got his one assist versus West Ham and looks likely to hit top form. Your views? Yeah. What's top form for Adama Traore? One attacking return all season? No, I'd definitely go Neto over Traore. To be honest with you, I think I'd go for Daniel Podence over Traore. Traore, your friend, great when he's running at people, like per the assist against West Ham. Great cross on his left peg, by the way, as well. But man needs to learn about off the ball running. But he never runs off the ball. He'd cause so much danger to teams just by threatening to run in behind off the ball. Because do you know what it will also do? It will make people back off and it will give him a bit more time and space when he actually receives the ball. Because no one will want to go in tight thinking, oh my God, he might run in behind me and there's no way of catching. But he never runs in behind. So people can go tight into him as soon as he gets the ball. That's the next evolution of him as a player. And until he does that, he's not going to be top level, I'm afraid. I'd rather get Podence than Traore. Zane FX says, hi, James, mate. Bit of non-FPL trivia for you. Oh, I love it. There were five players who have made 100-plus Premier League appearances for three different clubs. Can you name them? Oh, my God. What are you doing to me? Why did Teddy come in my head? Can't be Teddy. No, he'd only be Tottenham and Man United. I'm thinking English forwards. No. Robbie Fowler can't be on that list, can he? There's got to be nearly all the games for Liverpool. Oh, my God. That's such a brilliant question. Something for people to think about. It's horrible, this, for the audio, when I have to try and work this sort of shit out. 100-plus appearances for three different Premier League clubs. This guy's got to probably be defensive players, hasn't it? Who's been... Or goalkeepers, even. Goalkeepers. I can't think of anyone, mate. Do us a favour. Pop the answers in the chat and I'll read them out in a little bit. FPL Cricketer says, hi, mate. Another wildcard question. Do I leave 3 million in the bank to move Son to Salah after 32? Or shoehorn him in now with some downgrades? Lingard, Azpilicueta, Castagna, Vidra, Martinez, Salah, Rudiger, Fofana, Brewster, four-star. I wouldn't be going people like Brewster, mate. Honestly. But you're, look at it like this, right? Salah's got Villa this week. We presume he plays. Son's got Man United. And then obviously you're wanting Son because of the double. And I think for those who want Son for game week 32, you should probably just get him in. It's not like Tottenham, Manchester United can't feature goals or feature counter-attacking play. Son scored a couple in the fixture at Old Trafford earlier in the season. So I think if you want Son, like I do, just get him in would be the advice. But I do think you have to reconsider that in terms of, well, I'm definitely going to Salah in 33. Villa leads in the next two. You want that. So, yes, I think, my friend, you probably would be looking at downgrades somewhere else. Colm Conn says, evening, James. Wildcard question. Which would you prefer, Vardy and Phillips or TAA and Wood? Vardy and Phillips for me. And I purely base that on, if I was to go Burnley attacker, I wouldn't go for Chris Wood. I'd go for Vidra. It's 4.8. And then if it doesn't work out, and there's so many good midfield options at the moment, there's every case to say, okay, look, I'll go with someone like Vidra, go 3-5-2 generally, but then you wildcard into this week and you could go, well, I'll play Vidra against Newcastle and I'll bench Rafinha at Man City, for example. So I think that sort of solution works. So I would personally much prefer to go for Vidra. So I think it'd be Vardy and Phillips in that case. Z21293, hi James, I know this might be a touchy topic. Your assessment on Loris Sanchez as the 2-1 wild card as compared to Mendy 4-star. I think I haven't decided on the goalkeepers yet. But I think 32 is going to make me lean into Hugo. And Spurs do have a good run of fixtures after 33, potentially from a defensive prospect. Sheffield United, Wolves and Villa as three of the next four. Leeds the other. Quiet appeal. We did keep a clean sheet against Leeds earlier in the season. I think I'm going to go with Hugo rather than Reguilón. I think I haven't decided, but I think that's the way I'm going to go. Just because there's so many brilliant defensive options that might even, for example, allow me to power in people like Trent Azpilicueta. Obviously, if I go with Loris, then I can't pair him with Forster. You've highlighted Sanchez, which is the one I highlighted earlier in the week. Well, I think on my stream Saturday, I highlighted Sanchez as well, because Sanchez covers 33 great when Loris doesn't play. Brighton have got Sheffield United. And actually, if I go for that pairing, I would probably play Sanchez this week against Everton rather than Loris against Manchester United, actually. As I think United will do us over on Sunday. Personal fan bias in that opinion, obviously. But I could see Brighton maybe winning 1-0 against Everton on Monday night. So I'd probably go Sanchez, actually, this week as well. That's interesting. Mendy Forster, I know what you're saying. There is a potential problem in that, in the sense that, obviously, once we the blanks and doubles, which we're not going to know till after the semi-finals, there's a good chance that either both or none could feature in a potential blank game week of 36, or could both double in a double game week 35, which leaves you without another doubler for afterwards and stuff. So I think I might be looking at Leno Forster as an alternative, actually, as a possibility. And I just look at that and go, I tell you what, other than maybe game week 36, when would I want to leave Leno out when they play Chelsea? No, I probably wouldn't. And because of the indecisiveness about Arsenal. The indecisiveness I have about Arsenal defensively is because of Luiz. The injury is not as bad as first thought. He's had minor surgery. He's expected to be back in 2 to 3 weeks. I'm really confident that Rob Holding is going to get a run for probably at least the next 2 game weeks, if not 3 game weeks. But beyond that, David Luiz can come back in. And of course, there's the Europa League rotation to factor into what's possible. And I definitely need the player in 33, because I'm probably going to be carrying maybe even 4 players from Tottenham and Manchester City blanking that game week. And there is a small possibility that Tuchel brings Kepa in instead of Mendy. We have seen that when they played Newcastle earlier in the season. I find it very unlikely, because Chelsea's top 4 place is very much under threat, kind of Liverpool chasing them down now and stuff. Obviously, West Ham are above them at the moment, doing really well. Rule Tottenham out, I keep telling you this. So it might be that it's Leno Forster for me. You should be safe with Mendy. Should be. I'm not convinced on him on a goalkeeper, personally. I look at the run till the end and I think, similar price, I'd rather go Leno over Mendy, I think, personally. I really haven't decided on the goalkeepers yet. I think if I do go Loris, it probably will be Sanchez, would be the one I pair him with. Sherry MC says, transfer tips, question. Leave money in bank for emergency flexibility, or okay to use it all? There isn't a correct answer to that. Ideally, I'd like to leave money in the bank, particularly if I end up going with someone like Rob Holding, to know I can escape that and go to even in 5 million value and stuff. I'm also conscious that if I go with someone like Iheanacho, that come game week 36, I A, may want to get rid, and B, may have already lost his place in the team. And therefore, I need to get up to sort of Antonio, Watkins, Wood, someone in Bamford, someone in that sort of value. So again, consciousness ideally of leaving the money in the bank. But I think the way this is going to work out, in terms of if we do end up with blanks doubles at the end, which is no certainty we will, the only certainty at the moment is that Villa, Everton, Southampton, Crystal Palace are probably going to have a double at some point. That's the only certainty. But if it does end up that we need to find balance between blanks and doubles, we're going to be taking hits anyway. That's a certainty. So downgrading of a Salah or a Son or a Bruno to then get an Iheanacho up, I think it's reasonable. There isn't a right or wrong answer to that. I think I'd like to leave some in for short-term problems. But I think longer-term, if it goes crazy at the end, which it could, a lot of us are going to be taking hits regularly. Ryan Stubbs says, does Lingard make the Euro squad for you? Don't know what more he would have to do if he isn't arguably best player in Premier League since joining West Ham. On form, you made a very strong case for him. For me, it's a no. Got too many other good options. I think it would only be... I mean, James Maddison is someone who's not going to be anywhere near the squad, I don't think. And I would pick Maddison over Lingard, personally. You've got Foden, you've got Grealish, Mason Mount. We need to get over this. People have still got criticisms of him. Brilliant footballer, multifunctional. He's the most flexible in terms of able to play 8, 10, wide left, attacking three, sitter in a double pivot against weaker teams. He can do it all, Mason Mount. He's definitely going to be involved. I don't see a place for Lingard. And I think the giveaway as well is with Southgate's reluctancy to bring Lingard on against Poland. He was the obvious substitution, but he wasn't pulling the trigger, right? It was the obvious one, and he just wouldn't go there. I don't think Lingard would be involved, personally, unless we suffer real injuries in that area. You can say, yeah, take him. Is he going to play? Realistically, no. He could be one where the form carries him through, but I think it would only be in the case of injuries. So certainly in the case where recently we've had obviously no Rashford, no Saka, no Sancho, it's that sort of thing that needs to open it up for a Lingard. No Grealish, obviously, as well. If all those players are fit, I can't see how you fit Jesse Lingard in, personally. Roseanne Fleur says, hi, Jamesy. Which players who have in your wildcard team? Punt on Sergio Aguero for 2 weeks versus Leeds and Villa. I'd be more inclined to punt on Jesus, personally. I just think Aguero's so off. I've seen him linked with Tottenham in the week. And I'm thinking about it. I'll tell you what, if we get Harry Kane, he don't play for us. I'm serious. Genuinely. And I see him linked with Chelsea as well, and I think the same thing. That ain't the solution. Surely Sergio Aguero doesn't want to go and die at Chelsea Football Club like every other forward does he? Aguero would be better off going abroad somewhere, I think. Again, in the week against Dortmund, brings Jesus on ahead of Aguero. I don't see him playing much. I think it really is like, excuse me, a farewell tour. And you can make a case for those at the end, Newcastle, Brighton, Everton, those final three, I think. If City have got the title won and stuff, particularly if they're still in the Champions League as well. Not for me. I'd prefer to go Jesus, honestly. And he is a nightmare FPL player to own. No interest in buying him. Ram says, hi, James. What's your thoughts on Foden or Torres as a punt on the wildcard, considering Pep's comments on rotation? Yeah, Pep also said last week that City might not buy a forward. Then this week, he said that City will probably play 100 million for a player in the near future. Pep says what he wants and does what he wants. Ferran Torres, no chance as a consideration for me. Yeah, if you get it and it comes off, well done. Congratulations, not an option. Foden, been down this route. I think what's interesting, obviously Foden started in midweek. And I think that if those who listen to COTC we did with Aaron Lagor and our Man City correspondent FPL Pringle during the international break, we had a discussion about City's first choice 11 and the idea that Raheem Sterling was no longer a part of it and that Phil Foden possibly is now, but he doesn't always pick his strongest 11. Not for me, them guys. So many other good options at that value. Jota, Lingard, there's so many. Rafinha still. So many good options at that value. Madison's about to come back as a basically non-owned differential. Even Grealish, if he's back in the team all of a sudden, differential, lowly owned. So many good options. Those City guys would not be on it for me, I'm afraid. Z21293. Sorry, James, two more questions. It's that kind of week. Is it worth keeping Alonso for the next few? Question, and any merit in going Laporte over Diaz? Well, I think no one Laporte over Diaz. You only have to look at Diaz's Premier League minutes. That's why he's the one who's going to stay for me. And I know at some point he's going to be left out, but I intend to pick players who are going to be regularly playing as well to cover that. Diaz, I think, hasn't been left out, bar when he had that brief little injury for like the Tottenham game and stuff. Always plays. I'm not saying that won't change. So no, I don't think there's justification in that personally. In terms of keeping Alonso, it'd be a no for me. If you've got this week, it's probably not high priority. There's every chance you play against Palace. But I'd love to see Palace put Zaha up against him if that was the case. So Wolf Zaha go and play on the right, see what happens. So Alonso plays obviously really high, but you put Zaha on that side and Zaha's then running up one-on-one against Rüdiger and stuff. The left wing-back's got to be conscious of what's happening, I believe. That could be an interesting tactical ploy from Palace, but they don't look like they'll pull Zaha out essentially at the moment, in spite of the fact they've actually got loads of forwards. I think this week, keep if you've got, and then I'd be looking to bin personally. You've probably got a higher chance at a Brighton game as well, because I'd be amazed if Alonso played against Man City. in the cup semi-final, you would expect Ben Chilwell to play. What's to say Ben Chilwell just won't play the next few games? Does he look at the Porto game now and go, with 2-0 up, I can afford to play Alonso? I think he possibly does. Generally speaking, it's a bin. If you've got other fires, I'd keep this week. FPL telling Josh says, afternoon, James. Ings in and captain this week as no standout given Champions League minutes. Or is that overthinking it? I don't mind it. I think if I was Tom Hume, one of our patrons, was in the chat earlier, said he's free hitting this week, I'd probably have Danny Ings on that free hit. It's what's afterwards, not appealing. Tottenham blank, Leicester, Liverpool. That's what's to come. And it's well and good saying, yeah, we know they're going to have a double. Listen, that works for Palace as well. It works for Villa, Everton. All of them have got shit in between when that double's likely to happen. So a buy no, I think for a free hit, yeah, if you've got absolutely no fires and know who you want to buy in game week 32. Say, for example, if you haven't got Harry Kane and you're very happy with the other 14 players in your squad at the moment, yeah, make a big case to go, yeah, Ings this week, Kane next week. I have no problem with that. Sandish says, hi, James. Best City captain punt this week? I'm not keen on captaining Raheem Sterling. I'm still going to say De Bruyne, I think, from a captaincy perspective. I think in terms of 1 week punt to buy, if it's just the 1 week, I think maybe Sterling. But if you were if I was sitting there with both in my team as captaincy, I think I'd still go De Bruyne, personally. I don't know who I'm captaining this week because I don't know what my final wildcard team is going to be. I guess if I go Salah, he'll end up being my captain. But I wouldn't rule out captain Bruno Fernandes this week. Again, it's a personal opinion. I really think United could damage us on Sunday. I might even lean into going to Bruno still. Ricky Saunders, my Tottenham correspondent, says, hi, James. How long do you see Nathaniel Phillips keeping his place for? Quite a while, my friend, to be honest, at the moment. Did cover a little bit earlier in the stream. There shouldn't be too much threat at the moment, particularly on the back of obviously two clean sheets. He probably needs a bad performance for it to change at the moment, and he wouldn't foresee Villa being that bad performance, actually. Ricky, by the way, next Friday will be joining me. No Arse James next week. Well, there is an Arse James, but it's going to be via our Patreon content next Wednesday. Next Friday morning, Ricky's going to be joining me for a special talking about Tottenham, so you can get some varying views that are different to just my opinions ahead of Tottenham's double game week. Tom Campbell says, hey James, how the devil? Well, thank you, Tom. Hope you are too, mate. Champions League question. How good were those two Champions League nights, by the way? What's your prediction for the semi-finals? Gutted Man City versus Bayern can't be the final. So I watched the second half of City on Tuesday night, mainly because I wanted to watch Jude Bellingham. That's generally the main reason that I watched that. I had too much going on with my son to be able to catch up with the first half. So impressed with him. Impressed with a lot of Dortmund's work, but impressed with City to recover from Dortmund's equaliser and still win the game. I would expect City to go through. I watched all of Bayern and PSG last night. Absolutely brilliant game of football, Tom. If you chose to watch Chelsea and Porto and you're not a Chelsea fan, I'd suggest you've got way too much investment in fantasy. What a brilliant game that was. In the snow, car crash. It felt like a one-off cup tie, particularly because Bayern were constantly chasing. I'll tell you what, although they're 3-2 down, I wouldn't rule them out in the second leg by Munich. They could well turn that over in Paris. For Poch, as in Pochettino, I would love PSG to go and win it. And obviously, with them front boys, they've absolutely got the capability. They look like they're motivated for the Champions League when they haven't been a lot in Ligue 1 this year. They've lost 8 games in France First Division this season, which is staggering, really. They're 3 points behind Lille in the race for Ligue 1. And if Pochettino doesn't turn that around, he probably won't even make next season, actually. I'd love Poch to do really well, obviously. I don't particularly want them to do well, but I'd love Poch to do well. I think it would be just as fascinating, Tom, to see City come up against PSG. I agree. I think from that side of the draw, you will find your winners. But in a one-off tie, Madrid, Liverpool, or Chelsea could definitely do it in the final. But I think you definitely fancy one of those three teams from that side to win the competition. I have a feeling it won't be City. I think they might get beat by Bayern or PSG, actually. SN says, your thoughts on having KDB for this week before bringing Son in next? Absolutely reasonable. Don't have any issues with that. SD said, hi, James. I've got Kane Nacho and have 8.3 million spare for a third striker. Thoughts on Lacazette? My thoughts are you should DM friend of the show, Andrew Ferguson at Fergie222 on Twitter, because I think he's all over Lacazette. But I think he's haunting him as well. So he's the right person to ask. Or spend less and push it to upgrade my fifth mid. Less and push your fifth mid would be the advice. Yeah, not keen on Lacazette currently at the moment. Because of Europe as well. I mean, you get some clues tonight from the Europa League game against Slavia Prague. But I'd have to say Lacazette's not under consideration for me. Yes, amazing fixtures. But quite easily, Aubameyang goes back through the middle and Lacazette comes out of the team. Very easily, not keen on that at all. Sagnit says, yo, James, hello. Vish, Mount over Neto or Lingard? No, Lingard for me of the three. Lingard's probably going to make it in my end, in spite of the decision I want to make with Lingard is, am I happy to go without the next three because I possibly want him in the last five and it might be a luxury transfer that I can't afford? I do want him for the Newcastle fixture in game week 32, obviously. If you can have players that are doing well and they're playing Newcastle, then I think naturally you want that sort of player. We don't know the impact of the loss of Antonio. And West Ham are definitely going to find Sunday a far more difficult test than what they've had recently against Wolves, who don't hurt you in those central midfield areas. We had a really good, me and Sajid had a really good conversation about this on our Tottenham Patreon podcast on Tuesday. And I spoke about the positions that Ayoze Perez will pick up, or if Maddison comes back in the team, the creativity that he finds in those half spaces in between wide and 10, particularly left channel. So more difficult game, and he might find that Lingard has to do a lot more defensive work at the weekend. But he's playing so well. I mean, it's a massive argument just to get him on form. Of the three, Mount, Neto, Lingard, it would be Lingard for me. Joe Finney Badder says, hi, James. My wild card is active and still have the free hit. I feel like I can navigate through 33 easily. So is it a case of waiting for more fixture news to figure out when to use it? Great question. And the answer is yes. Definitely, if game week 33 opens, please don't activate your free hit towards the end of the week, even if you've decided that's when you want to use it. Because I think you can cancel the free hit anyway. Don't quote me on that. Anyway, I'd wait. I'd wait as long as possible to have the information. That free hit could come in really useful. You might be in a position where you look at a balanced squad, and let's say we end up with game week 36 and there's only four fixtures, which is a possibility, and you've only got two free players, and that could land for a lot of people. Then you might think, oh, Christ, that's so obvious for me to use the free hit there if I can navigate 33. Or it could be that before 33, we get the fixture announcement, we find out that neither 36 or 37's match weeks are going to move to the midweek after 37. And it might be there's no proper use for that free hit other than game week 33. Unless you wanted to power into the four teams that would then double in that situation, Villa, Southampton, Everton, Palace. You'd struggle to spend the bloody money, I should imagine, Joe. So I think wait is the best advice I can give. You're in a better position than me. I can't tell you what's going to happen with 36 and 37 yet. I'll try and cover it in a bit more detail on tomorrow morning. I'm going to get the podcast out as early as possible tomorrow. I want to have the video up on YouTube for around about 11 a.m. latest. Audio should go out before that as well. We'll be talking about our wildcard teams, and I will touch on, again, the possibilities of 36, 37, what could happen. I can give you a little spoiler for that to tell you that should there be a blank game week 36, and this might be something to factor into your thinking, there are eight teams, as far as I can see, that would not partake definitely in that game week. Those are Liverpool, Wolves, Sheffield United, West Ham, Burnley, Tottenham, Leeds and West Brom. But I'll cover that in a bit more detail, Joe, in terms of what that might look like tomorrow. Birth Media says, hi, James. Hello, Birth Media. Ricky Sauna says, best sub 9 million midfielder for the rest of the season who isn't Lingard or Jota. I think it could be Maddison. But I think if you get him this week, if you were on a wild card, Ricky, I think you possibly bench him. Genuinely, I'm not convinced he starts at West Ham on the weekend. I think after that, he'll end up coming back in the team. That would be my thought process at the moment. Failing that, I wouldn't look too clever and beyond Rafinha at the moment, honestly. That would honestly, in my opinion, probably be the best alternative. Gundogan, of course, you should never rule out. Depends on his minutes, right? And also positioning. He was a lot deeper against Dortmund on Tuesday night. But then for the winning goal, it's still him that ends up in the 6-yard box assisting Foden, right? So Darshall says Bell and Bamford out for Salah and question anyone. Depends, right? Do you want it short term or do you want it long term? I think Iheanacho, personally. I presume we might have difficulty moving the money around there. I'd take a second look at Vidra, honestly. Great fixture this weekend if you're looking for a short-term solution. Berth Media says, the most press-resistant midfielder currently. Most press-resistant? I presume this is a completely non-FPL question. You're asking who's resistant to the press. The best at it was Sergio Busquets, was the absolute best at it in terms of the way he could control a football in that area. He just felt like you couldn't get near him. So when you think of that, I think of deep lying players. Declan Rice would be up. If I'm thinking Premier League players, Declan Rice would be up there at the moment. I think Fabinho is a really good shout for that. Rodri, of course. Although I don't think he likes it at all. I think Fabinho is a player who's not particularly bothered by it. I think Rodri is not used to it when people come and press it. He doesn't like it. So there'd be a few names for you there. Alistair Cooper says, hi, James. What do you think about Bruno to Salah this week? I can't squeeze both in unless I take a minus 12. So probably need to choose between them for the next few weeks. So you're obviously not on wild card if you're taking minus 12. Bruno to Salah to force it, not for me, personally. I wouldn't, as I said, I'd not rule out captain Bruno this week, personally. Jaseem Jazz says, Bernardo Silva, game week 31, captaincy, thoughts on his minutes? It's a no. It's a no. It sounds like I've seen his average positioning and he's playing really high up the pitch. Bernardo Silva, no. It's unlike any City players. He could go off in any game, right? Not an option for me. Would he play? Not a clue. Nayan Kuma says, hello, James. What about Mahrez? His speed is a must for Pep against the pace he leads, right? No, stop second-guessing Guardiola. Why is he? So what, are Sterling and Foden and Ferran Torres, are they all slow? No, there's nothing in that. Bertinaldo 10 says, hello, mate. To start, Bamford, Rafinha or Watkins? I would normally always say go with the forward. And I think I'm going to say that again. I'm going to say Watkins. Just purely because I don't think we've seen anything in the last two games to make us convinced about Liverpool defensively. Clearly, Fabinho going back into midfield makes a big difference. And it is better. There's no doubt about it. But what I mean by that is Phillips and Kabak have not really been tested. They were a little fortunate against Wolves, let's be honest. And Arsenal's performance on Saturday against them was pathetic. So that they haven't really had that test. Plus, there's the home form, right? They haven't won at home in 2021, laughably. Now, you would think they'll get over that. And Villa looks like an ideal fixture. But Watkins, if Villa do have chances, he'll be the man in and around it. So I would go Watkins, actually. Stjepan Barisic says, Mount, Jota, Lingard. Pick one, Jota. Mina Savlaki, FPL sexy here. Hello, mate. Love the work Planet FPL does, Manchild included. Question is, would you wildcard this week? Have free hit and wildcard left? 300k and more importantly, 75 points behind a mini league leader who has no chips. Yes, I would wildcard, mate. I am on wildcard. A free hit would make me want to do it more because you'll cover one of the problems like I've pretended. And it's really difficult, my friend, because you can't see what that looks like yet. We can only hypothesize, and I'll do some of the detail again on tomorrow morning's podcast about the possibilities of what that might look like and how that could now impact those who are on wildcard. But I think, look, I've wildcarded without the free hit. I would recommend wildcarding if you do have it. The swings are too good. You know, if you've got no Liverpool, to go and attack free Liverpool now feels right. If you're sitting there with Leeds, Villa assets, they've got poor fixtures. It's the right time to make the change. I think for many of us, because partly the results at the weekend influencing the thinking, there was five teams we really highlighted: Liverpool, Leicester, Chelsea, Wolves, Arsenal, bang, brilliant fixture swings. there still is for Arsenal. So like the person who said about Lacazette, and I'm saying not for me, listen, if you fancy it, go for it. If you really want to go for Pedro Neto or Wolves, go for it, because the fixtures are great. And I think we are all a little bit put off by the fact that four of those five teams were beaten last week, right? So, but they've still got great swings, right? Chelsea play Palace, Arsenal, Sheffield United, Wolves play Fulham, Leicester tough this week against West Ham, but then follow it with West Brom, Palace, Southampton, Newcastle. It's brilliant. So I think from that perspective, if you don't have the coverage from these sort of teams, there are definitely things you can get on. Plus, if you haven't got anything, say Tottenham beyond Harry Kane, for example, you can set yourself up with another two for game week 32. So you've got three doublers. You need to be conscious about having combination of players from Tottenham, City, Southampton, Fulham, because they all blank in game week 33. But I think, yeah, I think it's the best time. You could look and you could hold it and get the best of, say, 35 and 36 with some planning, particularly if you've got the free hit, to understand in the future. So you could set yourself up with 11 doublers, ideally, if you hold on till 34. But it might not happen. It's the reality. It might not happen. And we can't even guarantee, if a game week is moved, we can't even guarantee if FPL moved the dates or not. So if we have a blank game week where only eight teams play, or if it means those eight teams are going to have a double, and plenty of those other teams who have a single will still have great fixtures in 35. For example, Arsenal would have West Brom at home, Liverpool would have Southampton at home, Wolves have Brighton at home, Leicester have Newcastle at home. So, I mean, would you even be in a rush to get rid of those players if they just have the single game week and other teams have a double? To be confirmed. Again, we'll cover it a bit more tomorrow. Shifo says, hi, James, your thoughts on Chelsea recreating the 2012 season, winning the FA Cup and the Champions League? Possible, but harder than it was then. Things certainly went their way. I mean, to be fair, in the FA Cup, they obviously demolished Tottenham in the semi-final and beat Liverpool in the final. It wasn't Liverpool of now, for example, in Kenny Dalglish's second spell, but still big achievement to get the job done. Obviously, had Drogba up front. That certainly helps, as it did in the final against Bayern. Things certainly went their way in terms of the last 16, the late victory over Napoli, which was a bit of a Champions League classic. I think that was one in extra time, wasn't it? The semi-final against Barcelona. Nobody can still explain to me to this day how Chelsea got through it. And I'm not saying they didn't earn to with the way they defended. But you can't believe that Barcelona were ahead on aggregate in the Nou Camp and Chelsea were a man short and Chelsea recovered it. Now, Messi missed the penalty in the semi-final. Robin missed the penalty in the final. There were so many things that transpired. It was just meant to be. I think it's more difficult now because I think there would be clear underdogs in a final, whether it's City, Bayern or PSG. Unless Dortmund managed to get there, in which case it's maybe a 50-50. But Chelsea are well capable of beating Madrid or Liverpool in the semi-final. They've got a chance. There's no doubt about it. They've got a chance. I would look at last weekend against West Bromwich just being a one-off, put it under the carpet and forget about it. Francis Logan says, I'm on a wild card. What's your opinion on Masuaku, West Ham left-back? Thanks. My opinion is he might be in my wild card, mate. What it might come down to with Masuaku is I'm conscious that the players I don't pick from Tottenham and Manchester City, I'm going to need to play for me in game week 33. Now, West Ham obviously have a difficult fixture against Chelsea. And do I want to be in a position where I'm going into that week and I'm feeling a bit light with someone like Masuaku? It's not to say they can't keep a clean sheet, but I think West Ham have conceded the most or the second most shots in the box over the last four game weeks or so. Not great. And Sudra's nailed it on the head what the problem is actually at the moment. We don't know the impact quite yet of Rice missing and obviously the potential of Antonio. But Sudra's adamant they're really missing Ogbonna at centre-back. Just leads Marshall's much better than Diop, who's still quite an inexperienced defender. And he thinks that Ogbonna is a bigger miss for them at the moment than what Rice might be actually. You know, Sudra has some out there opinions. But he really thinks Ogbonna's a big miss at the moment. So it might even come down to doing a little bit of research on when he's likely to return, for example. Masuaku could very easily end up in my wild card. Very easily. I'd look at it and go, probably bench this week. He'll have to play for me in 33. Yeah, I'd play him against Newcastle in 32, most likely. And to be honest, probably most of the games on that run-in as well. And I like the alternative options. He's another one to put into the budgets, right? Phillips, Holding, him. He's another one. Jonathan Ajayo, thoughts on having no City players and wildcards, especially because of Pep Roulette? Yeah, get that. That's probably why it's probably just going to be Diaz for me. If I have a second, it'll probably be Gundogan. That's I can't be having at the moment. Diaz and Stones both done great for me. I think it's feasible we have games coming up when neither of them play. That's one too many for me. It's going to leave me short somewhere when I'm going to be taking a risk on a few other rotatable defenders probably. So I think I'm probably going Diaz. Those who keep will see the benefits if they have the right players. It will obviously hurt if you don't. Simple as that. Brilliant couple of fixtures still to go. City, Villa, yes, blank. Then Palace, Chelsea, Newcastle, Brighton, Everton's a great final three. Predicting the longer term, I think it's probably better for me at the moment to go without. And if there's some clarity, like they go out the Champions League, for example, then attack it. That's probably a better solution for me at the moment. Wilson says, what's your predicted lineup for City on Saturday? Jesus, I haven't given that any thought yet. Edison and 10 others. Edison, I think Walker and Cancelo will play again. I think, to be honest, I wouldn't be surprised Diaz and Stones play again. I generally go that back four. Rodri, De Bruyne, Gundogan, Sterling, Jesus, Morris. It's a fucking toss of coin, isn't it? I ain't got a clue. It's nothing but a guess. Stian Bosdos says, so I hear you are taking over a football club. Which one? It's in reference to a comment Suj made on a Patreon podcast yesterday. When we come into millions, we're going to go and buy Enfield Town Football Club, mate. Andre Sosa says, thoughts on Masuaku as wildcard punt? Just covered, Andre. Thank you for the question. Amarch says, hey, James, is there any updates on Antonio? If he's not fit, what are the alternatives? By the way, I have Ian Acho. Thanks, mate, and good luck with your wildcard. Thank you. Good luck to you, too. I would be very surprised if Antonio played this week. And at the moment, I'd be surprised if he plays against Newcastle next week as well. They are so cautious with him. And he knows in his body now as well to go, you know, he powered in the shot, hit the side netting, and he signalled immediately. And I don't think that was a torn hamstring or something. I think it's the sort of injury where, for a normal player, they'd definitely be back in game week 32. You've just gone, oh, that's not right, take me off. Because he knows, he doesn't want it to go bad again. Oh, it's not right, take me off. But he's not a normal player, is he? Because this happens so often to him. So it will be caution. They won't want him to break down again and miss the rest of the season. They'll look at it and go, he's better off missing 2-3 games than missing 8 games. That's generally the decision they'll make, I believe. So it's all on David Moyes. I wouldn't expect clarity either, unfortunately, because it's too big a game against Leicester at the weekend to get clarity. Unless he is definitely out, in which case Moyes might say he's definitely out. But I suspect you won't even get clarity. Nigel Sam says, hi, James. Do you think Jota will outscore Maddison? I'm getting both, but unsure whom to get this week. Jota, as I said, my instinct would be Maddison doesn't start this week. I think he'll be used as a substitute, and I expect him to come back in the team afterwards. Alex Allegretto, good luck this game week, James. Wish me luck, Cap in Laka. Good luck, Alex. Alistair Cooper, non-FPL question. Spurs getting a lot of grief for the season ticket news yesterday. Are you still renewing? I assume so. You already know the answer to that, Alistair. Yes, I'll still be there. No matter what, I will be there. It's like a drug to me. I can't help it. It's the obsession in my life. No matter what happens, relegations, Mourinho signing 50-year contracts, I will still be there because it's my obsession. At price, to be honest. I know people hate it, but whatever the price is, I will find a way. The season ticket's frozen this year, but I'm just talking in the future. I will find a way. Nan Kumar says, Bruno, Salah, Jota, Lingard and Son, the best five for wildcard. Well, I don't know yet, mate, because I haven't decided which five I'm going to have, but that looks incredibly strong and I'm not going to argue it. Stian Bosdale, with no wildcard and building for the running, who should I bring in for Trossard and Watkins? 8.9 million in the blank. Have Kane, Iheanacho and Jota already? Would be hit transfer for your information. depends, right? It's not easy to answer because I don't know how well set you are for 33, for example. But it could be easy for me to say, right, so if you're selling Watkins and Trossard and you've got all that money in the bank, you can probably go to Sterling or De Bruyne and Jesus for the 1 week. But I don't know if that's going to put you in big trouble for 33. Salah, generally, if it's workable financially, and then you're looking at staying in around Watkins' value for another forward, I wouldn't discount Vidra, honestly, for this weekend. And I wouldn't discount it for wildcarders either, depending on how you want to set up. I mean, you look at that midfield that Nahan's mentioned, Bruno, Salah, Jossard, Lingard and Son. When are you ever going to want to leave any of them five out? You go Vidra. Perfect, isn't it? You can possibly even afford to go Kane and Vardy in that pairing as well. Owen Wilson says, thoughts on Spurs defence versus Newcastle. Were Tanganga or Sanchez good enough? Can Reguilón defend? And why did Mourinho lie about Alderweireld not training? So we covered this on our Tottenham podcast on Patreon on Tuesday. On Alderweireld, I don't know why he's lying, but he is lying. Because Alderweireld was in training photographs on Thursday and he was in videos that Tottenham posted on Friday as well. Yet Mourinho decided to say on Sunday that Alderweireld couldn't train until Saturday. When everyone else had seen that he trained. I don't know what that is. Either Tottenham are putting out photos and videos that are really old, or he's just blatantly lying. And I don't know why he'd do that. I have no idea. Alderweireld still plays every game for the best national team in the world, according to FIFA's rankings, which you can either take them or leave them. But he's still first choice for Belgium. Played all three games in the international break. Don't tell me he's not our best defender. Honestly. Sanchez, unfortunately, is rubbish. It's just confidence is shot. He's got some really good traits. I like how he defends the penalty area. Like his body position and stuff. He's normally really good on crosses and stuff. He's good aerially. He's obviously got the turn of pace that others don't have, but he's not good enough. Tanganga is a centre-back, as far as I'm concerned, watching him through youth teams growing up. I don't know where the idea has come to play him at full-back, but he's better defensively than Aurier and Doherty put together, unfortunately, but his qualities on the ball work. Are not great if you want an offensive fullback, but then if he tucks in, it allows Reguilón to go higher the other side. Reguilón had an absolute nightmare at Newcastle. It was awful. I'd have taken him off the pitch if there was some sort of alternative. He was so bad. Murphy ripped him apart. Defensively switched off a lot. Looks like he wants to be somewhere else. I think that's an impact of what's happening with the manager at the moment. Obviously good going forward. Still in that game, still putting some brilliant crosses, Reguilón. It's a mess, but the manager is not helping himself. He could just go now and go, right, play Tanganga at right back, so don't trust the other two. Play Alderweireld and Rodon at centre back, play Reguilón at left back, Tanganga to cut it, come in, stay stationary as a right back, which would also be comfortable to allow Bale to play ahead as well. Tanganga's job is just give Bale the ball, keep the ball, don't go forward, keep it safe. Allows Reguilón to push on the left. Son can come in and make his inside off the channel runs off the left-hand side. Get Højbjerg to protect properly in front of the back four. And without the ball, yeah, defend deep. Don't allow the ball over the top. And Alderweireld and Rodon will defend the penalty area properly. Given a chance, Rodon would benefit massively playing with Alderweireld because Alderweireld's got the experience. Look at that back line. Reguilón, Rodon, Sanchez, Tanganga. There's no experience back there at all. Who's communicating? Who's talking? Who's leading? Anyway, that's enough on Spurs. Jay Barker says, afternoon, James, bringing Cody in this week for my third hit all season. That's big. Cody for a hit. Who do I dump out of Dallas, Duncan, Konsa? Leaning Dallas as he has the worst fixture in the upcoming blank. Thanks. But if you're thinking ahead, Jay, and you haven't got wild card, there's every chance you want Dallas back for the final five. I think Konsa's the one to dump, mate. Sean Latform says, thoughts on Lacazette. Think he's a good option. That I've covered. Stian Bosdell is saying, like and subscribe to everybody. Yeah, you can hit the like button and subscribe to the vids. Approaching 5,000 subscribers. Be nice to hit that in the next couple of weeks or so. Moshi Azarav, hi James, the big wildcard question is TA or Phillips. Is TA essential or the ultimate differential? No one's essential, mate. Nobody's essential ever in this game. You can go against any player at any time. No one is essential. It's been that word permanently. Is he an ultimate differential? Probably not for long once all these wildcards get submitted, because I think you'll be in a lot of them. At TJ says, hi, James. Hope you're well. Do you think Captain Gundogan and Alonso Vice is too risky? Yes. And who to bring in first this week? Salah or Jota? Got no wild card. Thank you, James. Jota would be the priority, but obviously if you bring Salah in, it probably gives you a little bit more confidence from the captaincy perspective. I can't argue that Salah is probably a better captaincy option than Jota, but just generally for team building, Jota for me. Tom Edmondson, thoughts on Laporte on wildcard? 0.1 short of Diaz. My thinking being Laporte plays majority of Premier League games with Stones, Diaz being favoured in the Cups. It's possible. Benjamin Mendy's played the last two in the league. Should we consider him as well? Second guessing Pep, we're not gonna get there. I will finish with the answer from Zane FX to it's more for the benefit of the audio. The question that Zane FX sent in about the three players who played 100 games for three different clubs in the Premier League. The answers are James Milner, of course. Gareth Barry, yeah, of course. These all sound really obvious now. Gary Speed, it's even more obvious. Rory Delap. I think I would have got the other three, given some time. Rory Delap, I don't think I'd have got. And I definitely would not have got Chris Perry. Really? Play 100 games for Charlton? I feel like I want to check that out. Great question. Thanks for that. Appreciate that. Thanks, guys. So what we're going to do tomorrow is a wildcard special. Me and Sergio are going to be recording at 8 o'clock in the morning. So we'll get the audio and the video out as soon as we can once that's done and wrapped up. It's not going to be like an hour and a half's worth of podcast. I'll be going through my wildcard team. I think Suj is going to be on it, but probably won't have his team confirmed. You know what he's like. And I will look in a bit more detail about what could happen with 35, 36, 37 in terms of the team specifics and what that should bring to consideration for the final wildcard team in terms of perhaps leaving yourself short or over for certain game weeks and get an idea of what that might look like. I'll also be streaming tomorrow 5:30 p.m. on YouTube ahead of the deadline. My wildcard team obviously will be subject to team news tomorrow when I do that podcast. Obviously, if someone gets ruled out for injury, he's obviously going to get thrown out of the team, obviously. Next week will be a people's poll on Monday. Tuesday will be a full podcast review, obviously, of all the game week 31 fixtures. Wednesday will be Sky Fantasy Football. Next Thursday's Clash Correspondence will be Wolves versus Sheffield United with Bradley Parker and Ben Tomo Thompson. We'll be talking quite a bit about ownership. Don't worry, we're not going to talk about Sheffield United FPL assets for 20 minutes. We won't waste your time. But interesting comments from Prince Abdullah about Chris Wilder. And obviously, Wilder asking for a big payoff despite asking to resign. And the Fossum family, there were reports going around that Wolves are not going to invest much into the team this next summer and that some of the big names like Pedro Neto could be available for sale. We'll be talking about some of those things next week. And next Friday, as I already said, Ricky Saunders is going to be joining me so we can get some Tottenham views ahead of the double game week 32. We'll talk a bit about Mourinho ownership and some other things as well, but we'll obviously be confirming our game week 32 plans for Tottenham assets. If something suddenly comes up, i.e. I don't know, Harry Kane's got injured, we'd have the last minute thoughts. And Ricky can obviously bring an alternative opinion to me, just giving you the same opinions that I'll give you now, which are Kane, Son, Loris or Reguilon. That's it. Don't consider anybody else. If you want to support the content we provide, we have 5 additional podcasts each week from intermediate tier on Patreon. That'll include our Game Week 31 differential show preview, which we do every Friday. That'll be tomorrow out around about lunchtime for patrons. We'll have 5 more podcasts, obviously, again, Monday to Friday next week. And there are daily videos and articles from me for advanced tier patrons as well. If you want to join the Planet FPL community, links in the bio for both the podcast and the video on YouTube. You can find a link there. Please only support Planet FPL on Patreon if A, it's affordable, and B, for the reason that you want to support the content that we provide. Thanks very much, everyone. Enjoy the rest of the day. For the benefit of those on the audio, cue music, please, Manchild.
Fantasy Football Show. Sports Social Podcast Network.